Well, good morning, everyone. Let's pray.
Yes.
Father, what an honor to be here this morning and to have the access to come directly to you, Lord. And our minds are filled with things that need prayer, really. But we don't want to pray what's in our minds, really, unless it's put there by you. Mm-hmm. And we want to be led by your Spirit and to pray as you would have us to pray. And as we look at another prayer in the Bible, Lord, always so much to learn. And so, Lord, teach us this morning as we go forward in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we're in Acts chapter 4, and just such a great example of prayer here for the persecuted Christian or the Christian who is being tried for their faith, so to speak, and how do you handle it? And the context, as you know, is in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were going into the temple, and they saw the fellow who was lame, and he was begging. He had been lame since birth, apparently. And Peter said, "Silver and gold I have not, but what I have I give to you. Stand up and walk." And the guy stood up, and he started leaping around, and everybody got all excited, and they wanted to start to bless Peter and John as God. And they said, no, not us, it's the Lord. And such a huge crowd gathered, then the temple guards and the Sadducees and the priests came, and all jealous what's going on. So they commanded then the new church, really, it's a kind of the beginning church there, Peter and John and that group never speak the name of Jesus or teach in his name again. And what was the response then of the people? What would be your response in that situation? What would you do? Would you obey the government or would you obey the Lord? And of course, Peter said, "But as for us, we cannot help but preach and teach the name of Jesus Christ." So they threatened him, but here's a guy running around healed. They couldn't really come against that too much. So then they let them go, and so here's the prayer we have today then, after they were threatened to never preach the name of Jesus again, and we see what to do. So let's just begin by singing a song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." That's what they did. They've decided to follow the Lord, and we want to be obedient to the government unless and until the government requires us to compromise directly with the Bible or with Jesus Christ or with the Lord. So let's sing along here. "I have decided to follow Jesus." The words are on the top of the page on the front side. A couple of three verses here. "I have decided to follow Jesus."
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Behind the
So as we see here in Acts chapter 4, the early church, after being told never to preach or speak the name of Jesus Christ again, we read in verse 23, "And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them." It's good to go to a company if that company is your own. If it's another company, it's not so exciting, right? But they went to their own companions. And verse 24, "So when they heard that, they raised their voice." Notice their voice is singular. They didn't raise their voices all at once, all praying at the same time in different, they weren't all speaking, but they were in one voice to God with one accord, led by the Spirit, praying as one, even though there was a whole group of them. And here was their prayer as led by the Spirit, "Lord," notice the address is correct, "Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them." And now they bring in the word of God, "Who by the mouth of your servant David has said in Psalm 2, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ." So it's always good to stand on the promises of God. And we see here prophetically, way back 1,000 years before Christ, David would write about rulers coming against the Lord and his Christ, the Lord and his Mashiach, or the Lord and his anointed one, the Messiah. And so this is exactly what is being happened now, since Jesus is on the scene, had come on the scene and was crucified, dead, buried, and resurrected. And of course, we have the early church here shortly after the day of Pentecost as this account is occurring. And as they go on in this prayer, the word is, "For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done." So there we see a recount of the crucifixion. The crucifixion was not something that just happened. It was not that Jesus was in the wrong place at the wrong time. But this was determined even before the foundations of the earth, that Jesus would come to die for the sins of the world. And it says here, to do whatever your hand. It wasn't the hand of Rome. It wasn't the hand of the Jews, although they were instruments in this crucifixion. But it was God's hand and God's purpose determined before it to be done. And now the specific prayer for them. "Now look, Lord, on their threats." These are the chief priests and the Sadducees there in the temple. "Look on their threats and grant to your servants that they wouldn't talk to us anymore like that." Is that what it says? "Or that we'll get a petition out and we'll carry placards and we'll protest." Is that what it says? No. "Grant to your servants that with all boldness," "all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." So they are praying exactly for boldness to proclaim what they were told not to proclaim or to ever proclaim again. So what do you do when you are being persecuted for the name of Jesus? You look to the word, you look to God, and you rely on him, and you don't try to wiggle out of it. You don't try to compromise and say, "Well, we'll continue to minister, but we just won't use the name of Jesus." No, they didn't do that. They prayed for boldness. And then notice how the prayer is answered here in verse 31. "Again, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. I believe that's what it means, like when you're filled with the Spirit. Some people are filled with the Spirit, they think, but they don't do anything. I think if you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to be bold and you're going to be very active for the Lord. So it's the fruitfulness in your life that is really the mark. It's not what you say. It's not so much even what you do in a sense as it is what you're being led by the Spirit to do what He has for you to do. It's not a necessarily premeditated thing that, you know, I've been to college or seminary or Bible school or whatever it is, and now I know how to do it. No, we don't want to bring that into it. We want to be led by the Spirit. And so here they were all filled with the Spirit. The unitedness of a group of people by the Spirit is an awesome thing. And so as we pray this morning, we got a lot to pray for. We'll break into twos here and pray a little bit later, but we'll start out in one group. When we break into twos, we've got some things here at the bottom of the second page. There's a whole bunch of the whole second page is intercessory prayer, really. We got for our nation at the top of the middle of that page. And then at the bottom, I took intercessory prayers for the nation of Sudan. You know, we've got a couple of missionaries, Sabat and Susie are in South Sudan, and Ramsey and Vicky Voulet are ministering there as well. And it's a terrible, terrible place. There is just so much atrocities going on there. It was bad when, before it was independent, South, because the North was coming down and killing them. But now there's almost as much killing with the South killing the South. And there are two wars going on, armies going on down there. One was the present president's following, and the other was the former vice president's following. So those were the leaders of their, that's kind of at the bottom of the barrel when your country has two different wars, or two different armies who have the allegiance to your president and vice president, right? Now they got a new vice president now, but the killing is still going on, and there's so much tribalism there, and so we need to pray. But first, we'll just pray in a group as we're led by the Spirit. And so we got a number of people here to pray. And let's give everybody a chance to pray. If you're led to pray, pray. If you're not led to pray, keep your quiet and keep your prayers short. I think if you're led by the Spirit, He will not give you 5 minutes of prayer because that's too much. I think there's specific things He will want us to pray for. And we pray for those and then let's move on to the next person being led by the Spirit. Father, we thank You for this prayer here in chapter 4. And it's such a great example for us to come to You and to pray, and such a great example to see the body of Christ praying in one accord with one voice as led by the Spirit. And we want to do that this morning, Lord. So we just ask You to guide us and lead us. Lord, help us to welcome times of silence as we are waiting on You. True prayer is not just us talking all the time any more than wonderful conversation with another person is just one person does all the talking. We want to listen to You. We want to listen to Your Spirit. We want to be sensitive to You, leading us and guiding us. And we want to just redeem these moments together. So lead us now, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.